Amen. Good morning. Turn over your Bibles to Isaiah 7. You know, first of all, I just want to say thank you to the worship team. Don't we have an amazing worship team? Come on, give it up, give it up. You know, this morning before we had our little meeting, I was talking to Jerome and he said, you know, the doctor has cleared me to be able to play. Amen. Guys, we need to praise God for that brother and for God healing him the way he has. Christmas has come early in the Trench household. But it's that time of year again. It just seems to come around every year, right? Yeah. Christmas time. Rudolph and Santa and all that kind of stuff. When you hear about Christmas, what comes to mind? Come on, shout it out. I want to hear it. Oh, no. That's what I heard. What'd you say? Presents. What do you think of when you think about Christmas? I know, besides presents. Jesus' birth. Well, amen. We're doing something right. Think about the cut of the smell of a freshly cut tree. I mean, just make your house smell all piney and good. Think about the cookies. The images of sugar plums dancing in your heads. Has anyone ever had a sugar plum? Yeah, I didn't think so. Well, amen. Good for you, bro. I've never seen a sugar plum, but it's in the song. How about new toys? Come on, I know just ain't the kids hearing me with the new toys. Right? Come on, Glenn. Glenn is the only honest brother in the house. We all want some new toys. You know, we're on eBay and Craigslist and all the other stuff trying to find the best deals, but we all want something new under the tree this year. Remember about your favorite Christmas. Think about the best Christmas that you ever had. You know, when I was thinking about this, when I was preparing the lesson, I was like, okay, what was my best Christmas? And I probably should have thought, you know, when me and my wife first got together, that should have been it. But it wasn't. No disrespect, all love. I should have probably thought the first Christmas with my kids, you know, giving them stuff, but it wasn't. My first Christmas that I remember, the best Christmas, was the year where I got Castle Grayskull. Come on, somebody with me. Somebody's with me. If you don't understand what a Castle Grayskull is, I know, yep. Come on, throw it up there. Everybody knows what's up. It was He-Man. And you weren't the man unless you knew who He-Man was. He-Man was the man. I mean, he was just rippling in pecs for days. He was running around half naked. He felt good about it because he looked good. He was out there to save the day. I wanted to be like He-Man. So I wanted his castle. I needed that castle. It wasn't a want. It was a need. I needed to have that thing. But see, back in my day, we didn't have Craigslist. We really didn't have really nothing. We didn't have the internet, but layaway, exactly. You got layaway that you start December 26th for next year. But see, you don't want those toys. You want the new stuff that they bring out for Christmas. So here it is, Castle Grayskull. And my parents have blessed me with many of the action figures. But I needed those guys to have a home. So I needed Castle Grayskull. And I pleaded my case. I said, Mom and Dad and Santa and whoever else will listen, I need this toy. And it was $50. I'll never forget. It was 50 bucks. You can't even get Legos today for $50. Legos are out there. Mind with what they... Amen, amen. Make a brother struggle. 50% off. What? 50% off is still $150. Anyway. So I wanted this... Christmas wouldn't have been right without Castle Grayskull. So that year, you know, unfortunately, I didn't really know God that well, so I didn't pray. I just hoped. I hoped Santa would come down into my apartment, because I didn't have a fireplace. They told me he came in through the front door. You know, they let the door open and let him come in. I believed him. I believed him, you know. How else would he come into apartments? Duh. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting in anticipation. And my parents are like, look, you ain't getting it. We just want to set up your Christmas right now. And $50, we ain't got $50. Don't look for it under the tree. But most parents do that. They tell us, don't expect. Don't wait for it. And then what's under the tree? Castle Grayskull. I done lost my mind. I felt like I went to heaven. I just, oh my goodness. I started playing, forget the stickers. I just started playing with it. And I played with it in pieces. I didn't even put it together. I was so happy. Happy. I probably broke it in 15 minutes, but that's all right. I got what I wanted. What do you want for this Christmas? What do you want to see under your tree this year? You know, some people might think, man, we're singing that song, O Come Emmanuel, a little too early. You know, it's the first weekend of December, and they always try to put Christmas on us in August. So, you know, why are we singing that? Well, the reason why we're singing that is because that's the reason why we do Christmas anyway. It's Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the reason for the season, as the cliche goes. You know, we just sang the song. I want to read you two verses. It says, O come, Emmanuel. What does that mean? He's screaming out, come, we need you. We want you. We are incomplete without you. Is that what Christmas is about for you? Is Christmas incomplete without the Christ in Christmas? It says, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Man, this song is deep. But most of us have been singing it since we were kids. So we lose the translation, so to speak, when we sing it. A lot of times we just sing the words and we don't get it. It says, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. Did you hear that when we just sang it? I didn't. It was just, da-da-da-da. You know, the melody, and I'm into it. It's Christmas, amen. But I listened to this song like 30 times yesterday, just preparing myself for this lesson. So I can understand, what does it mean? What did the author that wrote the lyrics mean? Now, this was written in the 1800s. We don't even know who wrote it. But it was a man that understood Jesus. It says, from depths of hell thy people save and give them victory over the grave. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. You know, God never intended Christmas to be about Santa Claus. I don't think God would be that fired up to know that we celebrate the birth of his son by giving each other gifts. Now, I don't say anything wrong with it. Let me back up because I see some people. Oh, relax. It's okay. But understand what you're involved in. Understand it is a man-made tradition. And there's nothing wrong with some man-made traditions as long as they don't take us away from Christ. You know, everywhere I go, I say Merry Christmas. I will not say Happy Holiday. Because this ain't no holiday for me. It's Christmas. Christmas. Christ Mass. Unification of Christ. You know, Emmanuel means God with us. Did you hear that? God with us. In our presence. Why did Jesus come? He came because he wanted to obey his father. He came because he wanted to show us how to live. To be that positive example on how to be a Christian. He also came to show us how to die. How to die faithful in the service of God. Guys, too many people fall asleep during the holiday seasons. I want us to talk about Emmanuel today so that we can have our mindsets right for the rest of this month. You know, we talk about this Christmas Day, amen, the game is over. I want us to set our minds today so that as we go through the holly and making the merry, that we make sure Jesus is forefront, that Jesus is essential. Look over again in Isaiah 7, verse 14. You know, when we start thinking about the gifts that we've been given in life, you know, different things mean different things to people. You know what I'm saying? This looks like an old tattered Bible to some of you. But to me, it's a gift. This was the last Bible my dad used to use before he passed away. He passed away as a disciple. So that means the world to me. I remember when I first became a disciple, you know, all the brothers and sisters would tell me, you know, hey, amen, I know you really want your parents to become Christians. You know, a lot of us want that too. And, you know, it hasn't happened yet, but amen, persevere. I'm like, whatever. I'm going to persevere, but I'm going to persevere on my knees. I'm going to beg God, please. I don't know if I can live with the knowledge of them going to hell. That's just where I was. I think because I was just exposed to the cross, and I was just exposed to true Christianity. I mean, I knew that going to hell for them was a real, you know, real thing. So I didn't sleep right. When I would be with them, my mom would tell me, you know what, stop preaching at us. I said, I ain't going to stop preaching at you. I'm going to keep on talking and talking and talking till you throw me out. Amen. And I looked at my dad, who was a former boxer. I said, until you try to beat me up, when you're a little old, you know, I might be able to outrun you. But I'm not going to stop. You can put me out. I'll preach from the street to you because I love you. You know, this Bible says, Big Jim Becker. That was my dad. You know what a gift it is to have a tattered up Bible that my dad used to hold, used to do his quiet times in? I'm good. I don't need any gifts. I got it right here. Look at my beautiful wife. I'm blessed. Look at my gorgeous children. I was going to say delicious because when I look at them, I'm like, ah, I could eat these kids up. They probably wouldn't like that, but you know, I think about food. Well, I'm sorry, my bad. I'm just keeping it real. Look at the church that I'm with. Look at the elders I get to serve with. Look at my best friends that I get to work in the ministry with. Man, what I need underneath a tree? We got everything. Now, I'll still take my gift, but I'm saying, yo, let's keep it real. I mean, if it's coming to me, I'll take it. But you know what, guys? And this is just something off the top of my head. We're on a budget. We're on a budget when it comes to Christmas. It's not a free-for-all. We are not going to put, and nothing is free-for-all. We're not putting it on a credit card. We're paying in cash, cash, and cash. We will owe nobody what we buy. Everything on the tree, including the tree, will be paid for when it's bought. It will not be owned by anyone else. How many people, you know, auction the home, you know, it just everything's under that tree, and it shouldn't be there because you really can't afford it. You put stuff, you drive stuff. I mean, we could go all day with that. But let's just talk about Christmas for a minute. The reason we have Christmas is this. Look in Isaiah 7. Yes, I am going to read the Bible. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And he will be called Emmanuel. You know, like I said before, Emmanuel means God with us. How often do we really think about that God once, Jesus once walked the earth? Some of you have been where Jesus walked. Isn't that amazing? You know, we do not worship in fantasy. We worship in reality. Jesus walked on this earth, not some distant cosmos. It was only 2,000 years ago. It wasn't terribly that long ago. Our lives are but a whisper. The Bible says a mist. Do you remember that Jesus once walked this earth? Do you remember that Jesus, you know, he had to put on his clothes like we do? He had to consume food like we do? You know, God didn't drop Happy Meals in his lap every day. He had to do everything that we do. Guys, it's amazing that God walked among us. You tell me what other religion can boast that. What other religion out there says that, you know what, God, Jesus, who gave up everything in heaven, perfection, decided to come down to this mud ball, to the harshest region in the world, dealing with a very political landscape, and came only 33 years and died for us. See, Jesus brought us the first Christmas gift, and it was special delivery. He delivered it himself. Guys, Santa is not the enemy. Rudolph is not the enemy. They're too daggone cute to be the enemy. But you know what? Isn't that how Satan masquerades himself? Isn't that how he just tried to trick us with all the good, Black Friday sales and Cyber Monday sales? And it's so amazing. I read something that Cyber Monday is going to last like 3 weeks. I thought it was Monday. People told me they went out and they spent 26 hours to get one item on Black Friday. They went back a week later, it was still the same price. Oops. Guess where I was? In the bed. I was chilling, trying to sleep off my turkey coma. And you were out there with people with pepper spray and stuff. I don't know. Doesn't make sense. To save $15, that's all right. That's all right, but I'm just saying. Look over in Philippians 3, please. Man, my dad must have good eyes because these words are real small. Amen. Something else for him to be grateful for, but whoa. I know some of you are laughing because you're with me, but with your big print Bibles. And if you don't have one, you can get one for Christmas. Philippians 3, starting in verse 7. It says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Guys, you know what's the most amazing thing about Christmas gifts? It's all rubbish. It's all garbage. And I'm not being metaphorical. I'm being straight up literal. Go into your kid's room in 3 months. That $50 Castle Grayskull will be not in the pieces you take it apart to put it away. It'll be in the pieces that they fell on and broke it apart. Most of the toys that you give them, guys, that you go into hock over, will be in the garbage next year. Yeah, it's really quiet in here because you know it's true. I go into my kids' room and I see stuff I gave them. I mean, my daughter tried a pair of pants on the other day, yesterday, and I was like, I've never seen them pants. Why? Because she never wore them. She wore them once, liked them, and she kept them in her closet. We're in America. We have so much stuff, we forget about some of the stuff that we have. Guys, if we went into our closets and start looking through our little hidden treasures, man, we re-gift these things. We'd have enough to give to everybody in the room. Guys, we have already the greatest gift, and that is Emmanuel. It says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is that enough for you for Christmas? Is that enough for all your friends around you? It's not. Because if it was, Black Friday would have been a horrible day for the retail outlets. But it was an amazing day. They did very well. And everybody crying about the economy and saying, I ain't got no money. They found it for that day. It's called American Express. It's called Visa. It's the bank's money at 24%. That's not God's way of stewarding. You know, a couple of months ago, I was challenged about our finances. And when I first heard it, man, I didn't like it. I felt like, whoa, another area I need to change in. But guess what? That is correct. There's another area I need to change in. And God has blessed us, and now we're on a budget. And we follow our budget. We don't just have it written up, because that's what I did before. I felt good because I wrote it up. I was like, I got a budget. But I didn't follow it. I just did what I wanted to do with my money because it's my money. It's not my money, it's God's money. there's a future I need to think about my kids. They need to go to college. Now, I know that they're brilliant and they'll get scholarships. Please. But if they don't, I want to be able to support them and help them with that. That was not my American thinking. My American thinking got me to a place where, hey, I had to pay for college. I'm paying for college right now. They're going to have to get loans. And then my wife said, you know what? That's not right. You had them. We had them. We need to provide for them. And wow, that's a different teaching. And you know what, guys? There's nowhere in the Bible that says one way or the other. So I'm just telling you for me and my family what we're doing. You do what you feel between you and the Lord will do. But I know for myself, now I must do this. So now we're putting ourselves in a position to save for their our retirement, for their, you ain't getting retirement money from us. I mean, for their college. Why? Do I spend all their money on Christmas? On toys they're not going to have for their future? No. So Christmas, we've already told them, is going to be somewhat meager than it's been in the past. Why? Because we need to take some of that money and pass it to the future, to something that will matter, their college. Look over in John 1, please. You know, there's many people out there that make merry. The bars are full of them. The jobs have great big, you know, company-sponsored luncheons with open bars and, you know, all the food you can eat. And people are making merry. That is a saying, you know, Merry Christmas and, you know, whatever. But do they know Christ? Do they drink in excess because they're trying to get to a place that you could be naturally? That you can be spiritually? You know, once you have a real good quiet time, man, it's almost like a high, isn't it? It's like this spiritual high that you're on, and it's good, and it's God, and it's free. You ain't got to be in the bar trying to say, oh, do I have enough for another one? See, I can speak about that because that's where I used to be. Not no more. You keep that stuff. God gives me natural highs. God gives me courage, not liquid courage. Back in the day, I could never be doing what I do now. Back in the day, I needed a drink just to be able to be out of myself. Some of you in this room can relate. You don't have to go there anymore. You don't have to drive the Benz if you can't afford it. You don't have to have the house with six bedrooms and whatever if you can't afford it. We need to live within our means. Why? Because Emmanuel, God, is with us, and he is the one that needs to provide our worth and everything we need. Amen? Look over in John 1. John 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, but of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Guys, did you catch the last word? It said full of grace and truth. This is true. Jesus left heaven, came to earth for a short period of time, 33 years, and was crucified to save us. There's your gift. The life that we get to experience every day as disciples and true Christians is the gift, the only one we really need. Now, is it a problem to get Christmas gifts? No, I'm not against that. What I'm saying is, understand who the true enemy is. The true enemy, of course, is Satan, but you know what he uses? Indifference. He uses a lack of focus. But yeah, that's fine. You know, I understand I need to teach my kids about Jesus on Christmas and all that. But you know what? I just have too much fun with Rudolph. Or, you know what I mean, just the whole premise of the deal. I'm a big Christmas head, man. We start listening to Christmas music pretty early. Now, I don't like listening to Christmas music in August, as some people do. But my wife has been known to put something on. I'm like, no, it's wrong. It's still hot outside, but anyway. There's a time and a place for everything. When you broke, it ain't the time to go shopping. It ain't the place to be in the mall. Where you need to be is at the job making money. Where you need to be is on your computer making a budget. Where you need to be is in your house chilling out and not eating out. Man, that was one of our chief sins. Ain't it so easy just to go to a restaurant and let other people serve you? Doesn't their food taste just delicious? You know why? Because I didn't have to prepare it, and I ain't got to do the dishes. It's awesome. But guess what? It all comes at a cost. When you start examining how much that meal cost you, woo! And then on your health, all the sodium they put in it, and all the stuff that they do to it, and it wasn't made with love, it was made to take your money. That alone should make you not want to go. And if you're in a restaurant in here, my bad. I love you to death. Give me a discount, I'll come. But what I'm saying is, me and Lisa have been talking about cooking and, you know, open up a little restaurant or whatever. Why? Because we could cook and she could market, so we'd be good. It would be made with love. You could come. But the point is, my wife will tell you, the other day we were talking about it, and I wasn't even trying to go to a restaurant, but she was like, I don't want to go out. I was like, good, because we weren't going to go out anyway. But she said, I don't want to go out, not because of the money, but because I want to be home. And I want to eat what I know is being served. And I want to be with the family. And I'm like, amen. That's what we were going to do anyway. So it's great. We're together with this thing. Guys, this time of the year is such an amazing opportunity to tell and help people who are just simply making merry how to utilize their time a little bit better. This is not a time to withdraw and worry about going to chop a tree or you know, whatever. We really get busy during this time, don't we? Stop being so daggone busy. If you're going to do this, invite somebody with you. You're going to do it anyway, right? What's wrong with having your neighbor join you to help you decorate your house? What's wrong with bringing somebody over to help you decorate your tree or buy the tree or even go shopping? But make sure that you don't just bring Amex with you. I pray you don't bring that at all. But that you bring Jesus with you. That you use it to get a cup of coffee. That you use it to sit down. That you use it in the car ride. You know, I love hanging out with people in my car. There's a guy in here that knows that very well. When I took him all the way to Decatur the other day to do some grocery shopping. And man, we're far. I'm like, yeah. Because you can't go anywhere if you're far with me. Did you guys hear that? I went far for a reason. I could have went to Kroger up the block, but I want us to have a good long talk. Plus, I like the Cat Farmer's Market. That place is awesome. Guys, everything we do, if we bring people with us, it becomes Jesus-centered. Then we have Christmas without guilt. Then we get a chance to serve God without having any worries because we know we put him first. Don't you know that God will bless us with stuff if we put him first? God, it's all about Emmanuel, God being with us. Last scripture, Psalm 51, please. You know, one of the things in the song, it says, rejoice. Rejoice. What does it mean to rejoice? It means to be extremely happy. It means to feel joy or great delight. Joy or great delight in what? Emmanuel. In God being with us. There we go. We got everything we need. Now you can get your little gifts if you want, but be content with Emmanuel. Psalm 51 verse 12. The Bible clearly says here, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way. And sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, and the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Man, that's an amazing passage. You know, this is a passage I don't think that we talk about during Christmas time, but that's okay. We don't talk about Christmas time just in Christmas time. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We already know that. We need to be grateful that Jesus was born at all. Forget about what day it was. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. You know, when I read this, I can see myself in this passage. He has restored joy to me. Before being a disciple, I was not very happy. I was involved in a lot of sin and a lot of things, and I'm not going to get into that right now. Because it's not about me. But he has restored to me joy. I do teach transgressors his way. Why? Because someone taught me. I just want to pass it along. It's like a beggar who found bread that just tells another beggar where to find it too. Guys, this is our responsibility. You know, as we try to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to remember that God calls us to do it all the time. There's no vacation from the Great Commission. There's no vacation, even if you're off from work or school, from a relationship. So when you're off, high school students, do you stop talking to your parents? All your buddies in school, you don't stop calling them or talking to them, right? Now, some are associates, we've been talking about that, and some are true friends. But if you got a buddy, if you got a friend, no matter what time, day, or whatever it is, you're not taking a vacation from them. God is the most important relationship that we have. When is it okay to take a relationship vacation from him? You know, I just need some time away. Away to do what? To make gingerbread cookies? I don't get it. But guess what? I've been there too. I do get it. We all get caught up in the season. We all get caught up in the hustle and the bustle when we're drinking the Kool-Aid of the world. You know what I'm talking about. When you're drinking the Kool-Aid, you're down with the program, you're with it. But we have to be different. Why? Because we have the joy of our salvation. It is very clear in the scripture. In verse 14, it says, save me from blood guilt. Are you riddled with guilt? Forget about Christmas time. I'm talking about any time. That is not God's desire for our lives. He does not want us to walk around with guilt. He didn't die so that we would be guilty. He died so that we could be sanctified, that we could be changed. Guys, we should not, and we dare not, trample on the blood of Christ. Let us not treat something that's holy as unholy. Let us not take Christmas and put it in the place of our Savior. You know, as this month goes on and as we continue to do what we're doing in the Christmas holiday, I pray, guys, that we just really focus on this month. I mean, today's the 4th. We got 21 days before Christmas. I pray that we take the next 21 days and actually the next year and the rest of our lives to rejoice. Why do we rejoice? Because Emmanuel, God, is with us. And he loves us incredibly and has given us the best gift that we can ever have. Salvation and eternity with him. To God be the glory. Amen.
John, thank you. That brother really spends himself on this, doesn't he? He really spends himself. He's shot out right now, isn't he? And you know, I appreciate that so much. But it's the Word of God. And when the Word of God goes out, it doesn't come back empty. It accomplishes its purpose. And I resolve right now to do my part to make sure that that promise is fulfilled during this time of year. Please pray with me. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for taking such great care of us, providing us with all our needs. You are almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing. God, we pray that you would strengthen and encourage us against Satan's schemes during this time of year, God, to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Hey guys, real quick, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that the Christmas rehearsal will be immediately after service. If you're not part of that, if you could please fellowship in the hall, that would be great. Thank you.